Welcome to week 7 on our sermon series on worship. We have one more week to go in this sermon series, and then we will be in Lent, the season of Lent. Can you believe that already? This week, we are focusing on prayer. Now, prayer is a common part of our worship service. In a typical service, we will pray several times. I usually pray after the call to worship, pray after the receipt of the offering. We pray for the joys and concerns, and then we say the Lord's Prayer together. And I frequently end my sermon with prayer. And outside of our worship service, we get the joys and concerns from our bulletin for us to pray over throughout the week. And we're now starting our prayer jars and our faith on 50 prayers. So we have prayer, prayer, and more prayer. And some people wonder, is prayer really that important? Is prayer really that powerful? And if it is, how do we keep it from becoming routine? In our Gospels, there are over 25 recorded instances in which Jesus prayed. In Paul's writings, there are over 41 times in which he talked about prayer. And in the Bible, there are over 650 prayers listed. So as you can see, prayer is important. And when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, Luke's version starts off this way, Luke chapter 11. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He asked, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, I want you to consider this. The disciples saw Jesus turn water into wine. They saw Jesus multiply fishes and loaves. They saw Jesus cast out demons. They saw Jesus heal many sick people. They even saw Jesus raise people from the dead. But it is not recorded anywhere in the Gospels that I'm aware of where the disciples ever asked Jesus to teach them how to do these things. I mean, think about it. The miracles of Jesus were spectacular. And what was the only thing recorded that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them? "Lord, teach us to pray." The disciples obviously saw prayer as the essential key to the life and power of Jesus Christ. Prayer is like a multifunction tool. We can use prayer to praise God. We can use prayer to cry to God, to talk with God. We can use prayer to ask God for things about our needs, our protection, or His blessing. We use prayer to ask God to intercede, for God to heal, to forgive, to bring unity. We may ask God for wisdom, for guidance, for help. And prayer can be and should be a real conversation with God. Prayer can be done sitting, kneeling, standing, or laying down. We can pray with our hands lifted up, with our hands folded, or with our hands open. We can pray with our eyes open or with our eyes closed. And I just ask you, be careful which way you choose when you're driving down the road. I don't recommend hands lifted or eyes closed because Jesus may not literally take the wheel at the moment. But prayer can be done publicly or prayer can be done in private. And when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he first taught them how not to pray. We heard earlier in Matthew 6, and he says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This passage isn't really about public versus private prayer, because we have plenty of examples of public prayer done by the disciples and others. But what we have to understand that first and foremost, prayer is a matter of the heart. God is not impressed by big, eloquent words. God is impressed by humility. God is impressed with those who are genuine. And Luke, Jesus tells of a parable of two men who went up to pray. And the proud Pharisee who prayed loudly and downwardly towards other people was not heard that day. But it was the humble, sinful tax collector who lowered himself before the Lord, and it was the tax collector whose prayer was heard. It's about humility. And after teaching about humility in Matthew, Jesus goes on to teach them how to pray. In verse 9, he says, "Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." This is a very important way to open your prayer. This statement does a lot. First, it establishes order. It recognizes that we are addressing God, the Creator, and we are the creation. It says that He is the King and we are the subjects. He is the Father and we are the children. It says that He is holy. He is to be honored and He is worthy of our very best. And that He should be praised and worshiped in all that we do, including our prayers to Him. And you may not have considered this, but prayer is a tool that we can use to praise God. God wants to hear from our hearts that we believe that He is the Almighty, that we believe He is our God. And we can pray to Him in so many forms. Did you know you can write a prayer? You can write it down, write it out, type it out, make it a poem. We can say it. And as you heard in the opening, we can sing it. Wasn't that a beautiful prayer sung by Martha this morning? Your song can be a prayer to God. So when we pray, we first give praise and honor to God. And then when we continue as Jesus taught us, He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Another way of saying this is, may we be as obedient on earth as your servants are in heaven. Because life should be about God's will, God's direction. Everything we should do should be directed by God. We have His Word, His Bible. It gives us the outline for our lives, and we should study it and follow it. And all of us together make up the body of Christ. All of our gifts, all of our talents, all of our abilities should be working together to accomplish the will of God. And this part of the Lord's Prayer teaches us to seek His calling, to hear, to listen, to follow. And then the prayer continues. Give us today our daily bread. In other words, we say, God, supply our needs. Because we have needs. And God wants to meet our needs. And Jesus is quoted several times as saying that if we pray within God's will get whatever we ask for. And the key is within God's will. And I can tell you firsthand that when I am following God's will, when I am going the direction He wants me to go, He has always provided me with exactly what I need, no more and no less. But I want us to also consider that maybe Jesus meant more than a physical need. If you remember, Jesus said that man should not live by bread alone. He also said that He was the bread of life. And John wrote that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so our daily need is not really for a loaf of bread, is it? Our daily need is for the truth. Our daily need is for Jesus. Our daily need is God's Word. We should say, give us this day our daily truth. Give us this day our daily Jesus. Give us this day your Word. And then as we continue in our prayer, we read, it says, and forgive us our debts, and we also have forgiven our debtors. In some translations, and as we say in our prayer, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. I hope you see that this is a two-part statement, and both are tied together. First, we need forgiveness. Our sins separate us from God. But it also says that we will not be forgiven unless we forgive others. And look what Jesus tells us just a couple verses later. Verse 14, He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Isn't that something? If you do not forgive others for their sins, and you notice it doesn't say if they ask for forgiveness, it says forgive them, whether they ask for it or not. For if you do not forgive others for their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. And ask yourself, do you ever feel distant from God? Do you ever feel that things just aren't right? Well, it's possible that it could be your sin that's creating the separation, or it's your unwillingness to forgive someone else. I am a firm believer that sin can create legitimate illnesses. I am a firm believer that sin causes stress and anxiety. I'm a firm believer that your sin affects those around you. It hurts relationships. And so can holding grudges. So can harboring anger. The scripture says we must forgive so that we can be forgiven. We cannot be restored. We cannot be made whole. Forgiveness is what brings us closer to God. Forgiveness cleanses us and makes us worthy to stand before the Lord and offer our prayers. Forgiveness is the key element of our salvation. You need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. And each and every day we need to lay our sins before the Lord and before each other. That means asking others to forgive us. And we need to forgive others. And then we need to daily ask God for His forgiveness. And the beauty of grace is that God is faithful and just and that He will forgive. That is the power of prayer. Prayer provides cleansing and forgiveness. And following this amazing power for forgiveness, Jesus concludes with a teaching on how to pray when He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now let us be clear, God does not tempt us, nor does God actually lead us into temptation. A better way to phrase this would be, keep us on a path or lead us on a path in a way that helps us to avoid pitfalls in life that would tempt us to sin. By nature, we are weak and prone to sin. We must pray to God for strength and for guidance. For it is only with his strength that we can defeat our own sin. And only through his guidance can we stay on the right path. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. If we stand firm and we turn to God, we will overcome our temptations and we can avoid sin. And in this part of the prayer, we're not only asking God to protect us from sin, but from all things evil. And let us remember that prayer is not just about us as individuals. Prayer should be about others. We should be asking God every day to protect our spouses, our kids, our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should pray for our bosses and our co-workers, our kids' teachers, bus drivers, and other people. We are in the midst of a spiritual battle, and prayer is a powerful weapon. And we should pray often and pray for everything. Paul writes, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Prayer is for you. Prayer is for everyone. Prayer is powerful. Jesus prayed for the little children. Jesus taught us how to pray. And there were times that Jesus left the crowds to go and pray and be alone with God. Jesus prayed before he brought Lazarus out of the tomb. Jesus prayed over the bread and the cup. He prayed with his disciples. He prayed for his disciples. He even prayed for all believers to come. Jesus prayed in the garden before his arrest. Jesus prayed while hanging on the cross. And Jesus prayed after his resurrection. And if prayer was important to Jesus, we certainly need the prayer, don't we? Prayer lets us praise God. Prayer keeps us on God's path. Prayer helps us to provide for our needs. Prayer is the means to forgiveness and salvation, and prayer provides for our protection from the evil one. Prayer is a way we can remind ourselves of how much we need God. Because life is different when we put God first. Life is different when God is a part of our lives each and every day. And as Paul said, we should pray to God for everything on all occasions. In my previous appointment, they had done away with the joys and concerns as a part of their service. And I said, why did you do that? Well, because we had someone who wanted us to pray for her dog and wanted us to pray for her computer and wanted us to pray for... And I said, what does the scripture say? That we should pray to God for everything on all occasions. Prayer should be real. And most importantly, we need to be humble, genuine, and full of faith when we pray. Our humbleness keeps order in how we pray. Being genuine means our hearts are in it. And it means our prayers are not routine. Being genuine means our prayers are intentional, specific, and meaningful. And being genuine means we have prepared ourselves for prayer through our confession and repentance. And finally, our prayers need to be full of faith. We have to believe that our prayers make a difference. We have to believe that our prayers are heard by God. We shouldn't just hope that our prayers are heard. We need to know they are heard. Because that's what our scripture tells us. And we need to have faith that there isn't anything too little or too big for our God. We are to take everything to God in prayer. And we need to have faith that through our humble and genuine prayers, that God will provide answers. And we may not always like his answers. Because sometimes God says no. Or sometimes he answers them differently than from what we've asked. But in all things and at all times, if we seek his will see God at work. There is power in genuine and authentic prayer. We are going to repeat the Lord's Prayer together again. It's going to be on the screen. And I want you, first, we're going to start with a moment of silence. And I want you to reflect. And in your hearts, I want you to prepare to give God a genuine response. Because every week when we come here and we say that prayer, most of us know it by heart and can just rattle it off without a thought to the word that we're giving. And when we gather here to worship, we are here to have an encounter with God. And we treat him like somebody that's in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Good to see you. And we just keep on going. And that's what we do with worship service. We show up and say, hey, God, how you doing? Nice to see you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Good to see you. We had a great time. Let's go home. But that's not what worship is about. That's what our sermon series is about, is having honest and genuine worship with God. I mean, for the 1 hour that we spend together out of an entire week, shouldn't it be the best hour of our week? Shouldn't it be where we give God our very best? Isn't this where we should pull together in a common unity and share in something very powerful? Because when we do that, it will start to change our lives. And those who came needed healing will start to heal. And those who were lost and need direction will find direction. And those who are living and loving God will continue to live and love God and go out boldly and proclaim what God has done in their lives, and they will become a powerful witness. So let us take time now. Take a few moments of silence and prepare to share together in our Lord's Prayer. Let us join now together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Go now and be a people of prayer. Go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen.